first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I unmute myself. You can probably hear me, so we'll try this again. Good evening to my good friends, patriots, and jackbooted thugs alike, and even you neocons who like to listen in. It is the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. As always, to call in tonight, if you feel like you want to speak to us on an issue that we throw up here on the board, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. Going straight to the Freedom Counter this evening. I'm looking at it, and it says today is Tuesday, September 16th. We made it through another September 11th last week, and now we move on to this week was the 200th anniversary of the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner. We also have tomorrow on this date, 1787, the final draft of the U.S. Constitution signed, and a speech that we have quoted here on many occasions was given this week in 1796, and that was President George Washington's farewell address that talked about no foreign entanglements. So we try that and put the Freedom Counter back on the wall there, and we'll get back to the topics at hand for the evening. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, and the first thing I want to read over tonight is a piece that came out late last night from the New American, and it's more of this garbage about people wanting a constitutional convention when they really don't know what it is that they want. They're asking for a constitutional convention, and they really, really need to be careful what they ask for. So starting out there, no less congressman or medical doctor than Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, has always crusaded against federal spending and the inevitable deficits that follow when he was elected to the House of Representatives in the 1994 quote-unquote revolution. He wanted to keep his pledge to serve no more than three terms. So he went back to being a doctor in 2001, but here he came again. In 2004, he ran for U.S. Senate, of course, and he pledged to serve no more than two terms. And reelected in 2010, the same year that our own Rand Paul went to the U.S. Senate, Senator Tom Coburn decided he had had enough and he would resign effective at the end of 2014. He wouldn't even wait until the end of his term. He would retire at the end of this coming calendar year, 2 years before his term would have ended. Now, Coburn, still crusading about Washington's big spending and deficit building, has now announced he wants a constitutional convention, a con-con, to add a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Con-cons become popular with a lot of neocons. Maybe we should call it a neocon-con, because people like Mark Levine have got on talk radio and ran the diarrhea of the mouth about how they want a constitutional convention as well. Well, Coburn says he wants to have the con-con add an amendment mandating term limits for Congress. Sounds great in theory, right? That this con-con might give you a balanced budget amendment and a term limit amendment. But as much as Dr. Coburn's numerous efforts to cut spending and deal with the national debt may deserve accolades, he seems to have not considered that his new proposals are fraught with danger. Danger, danger, Senator Coburn, is what we should be saying to this. And the reason for that, he should consider that term limits for the office of president have been in place since 1951. As a result, Bill Clinton only served 8 years. He was followed by George W. Bush, who had 8 years, followed by Barack Obama, who has 8 years. There are some Americans who applaud this Clinton to Bush to Obama parade because it brought quote-unquote change. Well, it surely didn't lead to smaller government or less spending, and it sure the hell did not lead to an end of deficits. Dr. Coburn doesn't seem to realize that a con-con would cancel the entire Constitution, as happened, as we just read, in 1787, when the only con-con in our nation's history exceeded its mandate to revise the Articles of Confederation, scrap them, and produce the U.S. Constitution. And folks, you got to remember, a con cannot be limited. It's great for people like Coburn to say that's going to be about balanced budgets or term limits. It's great for Mark Levin to get on the radio and spew his garbage about whatever reason it is he wants a con. But the bottom line is you can't limit what happens once that genie comes out of the bottle. A con could potentially abolish the Bill of Rights. It could cancel out term limits on the president. Wouldn't that be nice if you had a con before Obama left the office and they decided to get rid of term limits on that office? It could destroy numerous limitations of powers, etc. But the other proposal that Coburn has out there for the balanced budget amendment invites the question, why should anyone expect the current leaders to obey an amendment when they already cavalierly disobey or ignore the provisions already in the Constitution? This is what I've been saying for a long, long time, whether it's the balanced budget amendment or whether it's term limits. If you can't trust them to leave office or be honest with you while they're still in office, how the hell do you think you can trust them to get this right? It boggles the brain. It boggles the mind. And there are several proposed balanced budget amendments that are full of loopholes out there. Some balanced budget proposals would allow a 60% vote in Congress to override budget restrictions. Others would call for a increase in taxes to balance the budget. And then there are some others who claim that the budget need not be balanced if there's a war or a national security threat proclaimed by the president. And we know that we always have a war or national security threat. When's the last time that they weren't threatening some kind of war or national security issue? And beyond the loopholes in the balanced budget amendment or the term limits, creating a con for any reason should be blocked. And that's what we're hoping people will understand who listen to these shows here on the My View Matters Network. We hope you understand that you do not want a con. 1 year after his participation in the con, the aforementioned one that abolished the Articles of Confederation, James Madison stated his opinion in 1788 that consideration of another con would cause him to tremble. Former Supreme Court Justice Chief Warren Burger pointed to the unlimited power of a con and advised against it. The late Justice Robert Bork said that a, quote, federal constitution convention could not be limited to a single issue, unquote. These voices from the past and the present warn against convening such a constitutional convention. So while we applaud people like Dr. Coburn for his years of service in Congress, we severely disagree with him when calling for a con. Term limits do not bring about change. You need a real, real turnaround in Congress and the people you send there. You need a real, real turnaround in the opinions of the people you send there and the way that they vote, the way that they elect people. Kind of reminds me of what I heard Jesse Ventura saying again the other day, which he has said on many occasions, which is you keep sending Democrats and Republicans. You keep electing Democrats and Republicans, and you wonder why you keep getting the same thing. Got to have some real change. Leads me to think about what our friends over in the motherland, Scotland, are going to be doing this week. They're going to have a vote for change. They're going to have a vote for change this Thursday, and it's going to be a vote to decide whether or not they should secede from the United Kingdom. And the yes vote is really, really picking up steam recently as far as the polls go, and I know the polls over there are probably not much more dependable than the polls that we run in our country, but there is still a possible turning point that may lead them to leaving the United Kingdom, and I think that's great if that's what they want to do. I think people should have that option. We've talked about it many times. Imagine what would happen if a state in the United States tried to leave. Well, we saw what Lincoln did to states when they decided they didn't want to stay in the Union. Now, how do you think it would be any different today? Well, it would be different today because they would send tanks and drones and armored vehicles and jets probably over whatever state threatened to leave the Union. Could you imagine? It would be the biggest piece of news out there. Now, I understand that the mainstream press doesn't cover real news issues. And I'll get to that again in a moment. They want to cover what the latest thug in the NFL is doing or what your favorite new TV show or movie or video game is about. They don't really want to cover real change. So you never hear about secession. You never hear about people leaving the country. But Scotland, as we said, has a possible turning point coming up this Thursday. Scotland has the capacity to become the real Switzerland of Europe, if you will. So you got a number of questions coming in. Yes, the capital would be attractive if they could get out of the United Kingdom and the European Union. The European Union is no more than just a tax finance transaction. It's a way to get short-selling thinking, how they can support their euro and more corrupt banking. Can I get through your heads that if you prevent people from selling, you're going to prevent them from investing? And if Scotland could get away from the United Kingdom this Thursday in their vote, they will be entitled to the oil of the North Sea. They could actually end up with a surplus budget, one of the very few countries around the world that would have a surplus budget. It would also be interesting to see them leave the United Kingdom because it would disrupt the bond markets, for the question would then turn to who gets the debt. Traditionally, the debt belongs to the United Kingdom. If Scotland leaves the United Kingdom, it belongs to England. If Scotland were to recognize that being outside both the United Kingdom and the European Union would act as a magnet for capital, that if you did not join those who disrespect privacy, you could have a real economic boom. You would be clean and your past problems with the banks regarding Germany and the USA, so you could actually have a real banking system emerge, one that's not based on fiat currency and fake money, just like the one that once existed in Switzerland. So again, Scotland could become the true Switzerland of Europe. There is no doubt that there's an incredible opportunity for Scotland under independence. Of course, human nature and politicians, being what they are, they'll eventually muck that up too, given time, I understand. But Scotland, in the short term, needs to take the high road here. They could set the model for the rest of the world. Could you imagine if Scotland set off a contagion? This vote that's coming down this Thursday, I guess here in the United States, by the time that you are retiring to bed for the evening on Wednesday, they'll begin voting. And guess what? You even have some markets this week showing a turning point in the metal markets. So independence can work in Scotland if the proper policy changes are demanded by the people. And I'm not going to be negative, but anything less will fail, and you'll end up with chaos in the streets if they don't do this the right way. I'm not pretending like I have all the answers, but the way the United Kingdom does it is not the right way. The way the United States has been doing it is not the right way. I suggest you stop listening to the banksters and the billionaires in Great Britain. They basically have taken mankind off of a clip, rhetorically speaking, with all their backwards math, their political party fascism, their economic pillaging and plundering and raping. Again, I understand some people don't have a lot of faith in Scotland getting independence. There are some people telling me that if Scotland breaks away, in some twisted, perverted way, it would be more centralized. That is, it would be under the European Union and the United Nations, and therefore the banks took control. But they could choose to get out of that, too, if they want. They have all the control right now. They hold all the marbles, if you will. So many people who are trying to tell Scotland not to leave the United Kingdom claim that there's some kind of, quote, umbrella of protection. There is no umbrella of protection. Here's a newsflash for you. Their citizens do not determine their own rule or destiny. They do not determine the destiny of Scotland. They can prevent all they want. Their nation's leaders actually have more control over you, the masters. The United Kingdom is nothing more than a puppet state. We know that. European Union, United Kingdom, it all runs together, just as Connecticut is to the United States. Same difference. So why would Scotland want to be protected, quote-unquote, by the likes of the United Kingdom, where you're required to turn in your weapons, submit to unchecked immigration? Well, that sounds like our United States now, doesn't it? Abandon free speech in the interest of reducing hate crimes, and submit your sovereignty to a, quote, foreign union for the good of the collective. Their whole rebuttal of the self-determination of the Scots boils down to their shaky and twisted, oh, but you'll be victimized by terrorism. It's always terrorism. Good old Cameron, good old Prime Minister Cameron, is nothing more than a lapdog, just like Obama is, for the George Soros front, for the warmongering global elite. Because they're not concerned about Scotland. These people in the United Kingdom that put on these fronts about how they're concerned about Scotland being protected, they're concerned about the glaring irrelevancy of the United Kingdom. See, they're just realizing how irrelevant they are. While they were too busy watching soccer and Mad Men, their country has been destroyed from within. I understand we can be delusional if we think that independent Scotland's going to have all the gun rights in the world. I understand we could be deluded if we think that Scotland will suddenly support tighter immigration and not have hate speech laws. But again, you have this European Union, which is basically a United Nations / United States construct, and you've got to leave both of those. It's the beginning of what could be a very good thing for Scotland if you got out of the United Kingdom and out of the European Union and out of the United Nations. Then they would truly be independent. See, a lot of folks in the United States think that people in Great Britain or the United Kingdom are so smart. They think they're so intelligent. I guess it's the accent. I guess just as the Southern accent, people stereotype against that. I guess they stereotype up with the British accent. They think that those people are so much brighter than they are here. And it really isn't true at all. Because more research concludes, on average, they're just as stupid as the Americans, which is shameful. So again, Scotland needs to leave the United Kingdom, then leave the European Union and the United Nations, and then they will be free. It's going to be close of a vote, and God knows, if you've seen some elections be fixed before, can you imagine about what could go down with a fixed election over in the United Kingdom when a whole section of the country wants to leave? I understand we want Scotland to be independent, and there are some that do worry that as soon as Scotland becomes independent, that Alex Salmond will come in and take his cut from the globalists and stitch Scotland up. But all Europeans all politicians, whether it's Europeans or Americans, are pretty much the same. They're greedy. I mean, I really, really do hope that they break away. I hope that people will take a hint and people will get the clue that you can secede. I think it would be great if some states would call the federal government's bluff and say they were leaving the union. Because I'm pretty sure, just as on the negative side, the more states that try to get a constitutional convention, a con-con, will lead to that door opening wide open. Same thing happens with secession. If you have a state like Texas or Maine, which have considered leaving the union in the past, if they do so, you might have another 20 states leave right away. And then the remaining states would break up. Think about Colorado. All that would be left for globalists like Obama would be Denver and the surrounding cities. And the rest who have the wealth of Colorado would join the free states. Say from Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. And then if you have the free states actually outlaw welfare programs, then the folks would rush back to the remaining states. See, we've talked about secession on the airwaves here before, and it's a dirty word for a lot of people. It's the S word that you're not supposed to talk about. But in the United States, it does have more benefits than drawbacks. My fear here is that people in the United States don't understand or realize that because you have a greed surrounding it, and they're not going to understand the situation that they're in until a gun is finally pointed at them and they're led away to one of these re-education camps. All empires die gruesome deaths. This is nothing more than one of the British empires bleeding out. We know how the progressive democracy is here in the United States. We know that if you want to seek independence from your overlords, God bless you. That's the way it's supposed to be. But look at the way the Roman Empire is carried out by those at the top in these different countries that were in the secret societies like Club of Rome, Knights of Malta, Skull and Bones. They owned the media. They owned the banks. They owned the intelligence agencies. If you owned the media and the banks and the intelligence agencies, and more the education system through government education, what is left? It's a rigged game at that level, folks. They run up the debts in countries with their paper promises while their insiders cream off most of the profits, and then they destroy the country from within. That's why I say they're extremely greedy. What's the point of pillaging and plundering and looting everywhere for centuries and then hiding all the loot and gold away in vaults where they never see the light of day and they don't do anybody any good? It's like having a hamster with a severe eating disorder. It's pointless. So I understand everybody's all worried about the issues, about ISIS, you know, that group that used to be called Al-Qaeda, and we had to come up with another boogeyman name, and the U.S. government helped form it. Everybody's concerned about that. Everybody's concerned about these fake issues. Because the media is not only telling you what to think, they're telling you what to think about and what to think about what you are to think about. Again, it would be really, really good if freedom across the world had a final little tipping point, or I should say a first tipping point, finally, this Thursday, when Scotland has a chance to get their independence. I'm not going to be such a negative Nelly that I say that there's no real independence to be had, because I think there is real independence to be had. Maybe they could get out of the European Union and stay the hell clear of NATO. And we know the British people are going to be weakened because the United Kingdom will get carved up, and it will be made easier, more easily controlled by the European Union in the New World Order. So I'm hoping Scotland will be really independent and free itself from these groups. We're going to find out this week, folks. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we'll be back after our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for staying on through the break there, and we will get back to some more local issues, but we definitely wanted to finish up talking a little bit, like I said, on tonight's show about the battle for Scottish independence, if you will. This isn't like Braveheart, but this is an actual election. This is the kind that we like to see where there's no war involved, if you will. No aggression, if you will. But non-compliance, excuse me, with the United Kingdom and the ability to vote their way out to freedom. We are down to about 24 hours until they will go to the polls. The only polls that matter are the ones where they cast the ballots. And like I said, there are some polls that they've had before then, the same kind of polls we have here in the United States, about neck-and-neck voting, about how the yes vote and the Better Together campaign, which is the little politically correct name for the no vote, are neck-and-neck. Most recent polls have no support ahead at 51% to 49%. But the ICM director, Martin Boone, warned that the polling data may be seriously wrong. This referendum has a potential to be a polling Waterloo, said Mr. Boone. You see, the boss of one of the polling firms is trying to predict the outcome of the independence referendum. And he admitted today that he might have had it completely wrong. In recent weeks, the polls have narrowed to suggest that there's a knife's edge to this vote, like I said, being a 51% to 49% vote. But the director of ICM, Martin Boone, admitted that he fears the unique background to the vote means the polling data may be corrupted. Can't imagine polling data ever being corrupted. But it is feared that the surge of support for the Yes campaign amongst people who normally don't vote and the no supporters being afraid of being accused of lacking patriotism is misleading pollsters. Mr. Boone admits he believes the actual result could be a much more comfortable victory for either side. And he drew comparison to the 1992 general elections when the polls said that Neil Kinnock was going to win over John Major. And we saw how that worked out. He says this referendum has the potential to be a polling Waterloo, the biggest since 1992, when the polls got it wrong. He says, I think and hope that the best we can do in the industry, listen to this, folks, he says, the industry, is that we dodge a bullet, but it's entirely possible the bullet starts spraying our way. We are dependent on a pot of people, which is defined, but we don't know how big it is, and in my view, it won't be big enough. Of course, you had Gordon Brown saying that he wanted to lock in powers for Scotland if they voted no. A panel-based survey for the Sunday Times said it was 50.5% to 49.5% in the latest survey. But a poll by Servation gave the No campaign an 8-point lead. However, a surprise ICM poll for the Sunday Telegraph put the Yes campaign ahead by 8 points. So we don't know how this vote's going to go down when it comes out Thursday. We know that more than 4.2 million people have registered to vote in this historic referendum, which is going to decide the fate of a 307-year-old union. Experts predict turnout could be as high as 85%. They say a surge in yes voters may not have been picked up by the polls, like I said, because a lot of support has come from people who don't normally vote. And of the six companies that are polling, four of them use online panels, one does face-to-face, and another does phone interviews. So I think that's interesting. Six companies doing polling, four of them do it online, one of it does on the phone, and one of it does face-to-face. And since figures show yes support might be underestimated because the young voters are less likely to sit down to answer the online questions or to stop in the street to speak to the canvassers. Guess what? They're also less likely to have a home phone line. Therefore, they're missed by the ones that are pulling that method. So we are just depending on the youth vote more than anything. On the flip side, they say why the no votes might be wrong. Because of the so-called, quote-unquote, shy no votes, who are afraid of letting people know that they are against independence. I guess they're worse things to be afraid of. But with the yes vote being so rooted in Scottish nationalism, many no voters are concerned that they will seem unpatriotic. So we don't know how this vote is going to come down, but we're very interested to watch as they go to the polls starting tomorrow night, and then as we get up on Thursday morning, they will be just about done at the polls. I would say about the time that you get back from lunch on Thursday, the polls will be closed over there in the United Kingdom. So we're definitely interested in seeing how this goes. Now, back here at home, we have a lot of elections coming up in November. And we kept our word from June, July, and August that we very, very rarely covered elections. But now we really have to get back down into it. And I've seen the numbers, folks. When we're in the middle of an election campaign, we get a lot more listeners. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. So a couple people out there may not like hearing about local and state elections, but our numbers show that most of you do. So we're going to get right into some of this, and we'll go over to what CN2 Pure Politics called their top 10 Kentucky state races. And they put this out Sunday morning, it looks like. And they say that the House races remain in shadows of the election season nearly 2 weeks past Labor Day as candidates are holding on to their money for the final weeks. It says these contests have been overpowered so far by the massiveness of the U.S. Senate race machine. And that is a race we don't talk about here on the airwaves. Not going to talk about the U.S. Senate race. Far more important things to talk about. You think that sounds crazy, then you haven't been listening to the show. Your local and state government has far more effect on you than your national government, and vice versa. But they say that the number one race, as they call it, top state house race, I don't know what they call top, what their priorities are, but they say the top one is out in western Kentucky, the 13th district. That is where you have Democrat Representative Jim Glenn, of Owensboro against also from Owensboro Republican Alan Braden. Can't say I really studied this race a lot. They've been saying all along that this is one of their top races to watch. Way back in the day, CN2 was telling us a couple of months ago that it was in the top 10 races to watch. And the fact is that Jim Glenn has an A rating from the NRA, and that says a lot for a Democrat, even though we know the NRA is not as pro-gun as they pretend to be. They're not like the GOA or the RKBA or the Jews for Preservation of Firearms, but the NRA is still a standard for people who are for their guns, and this guy got an A from the NRA, and he's an incumbent Democrat. But CN2 says it's their top race now. Says the road to the House Speaker's chair would have to come through Owensboro. For Republicans to win control, they must win this race. An area that's been leaning more to the right, and in a district that Glenn won by only 251 votes in 2012 and only 206 votes in 2010. His opponent, Alan Braden, is a financial analyst and a former Owensboro City Commissioner, says he might need the extra force of a Republican wave to unseat the hardworking Glenn, who has reserved TV airtime for the very first time. Also, they thought this next race was interesting. It was not listed in their top 10 back in July. I'm looking at my notes I took when they did their last poll back in the middle of July. July 18th is what I have here. So we're about 2 months on down the road. This race was not in the top 10 back then, but now he's talking about the 39th district right outside of Lexington. This is the Nicholasville, Jessamine County area minus the Wilmore area. This is the 39th House District. And this is an open seat. And this is one of my favorite candidates right here, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. I look up and down the state house races, and we know that technically all 100 state house seats are on the ballot. We know far, far fewer of those actually have, quote-unquote, contested opposition, if you will. And I've said all along, and I guess I'll sprinkle some of these names in as we cover the important races, but there are about 18, math on the radio I know isn't much fun to listen to. Let me just look at this again, make sure I'm telling you this right. I'm looking at the numbers again here. Yep, there are about 18 House races that I really think you need to get behind the Republicans. Now, the people who are Republican rah-rah cheerleaders will love to hear me say that. And the people who tell me that there's no difference between the parties will be mad at me that I said Republicans. But it just happens to be, as we're looking at, are Republicans. And if the House is going to get out of the corrupt control of the current leadership, it's going to have to switch to Republicans. Yes, we still wish that more people would file and run as independents and libertarians and third parties, but the incumbents make it damn hard to do that with all the voter registration restrictions and all these signatures required. Go ask our friend Ken Molman. That being said, the 39th district is one of the ones that I think you should be out supporting the Republicans strongly, and that is Jonah Mitchell. This is an open race. Again, this was not one of the races in the top 10 back in July. So that gives me hope for Mr. Mitchell if CN2 is saying that now this is a top 10 race. But this is Jessamine County, which has become one of the more conservative districts and probably the most conservative in Central Kentucky. It would normally favor Republican Jonah Mitchell, CN2 says, a real estate agent and landlord, but it says that Russ Meyer has been a popular mayor of Nicholasville. Plus, the previous occupant of the seat, Bob Dameron, who is running for judge executive, conditioned voters to voting for a Democrat. So, see, there you go. I was hoping that the reason this came into play was a good thing for the Republicans. I'm sight-reading this article, have not read it previously, and the fact is they're saying that the Democrat is making this one very close. I guess they expected Mitchell to have it more handedly back in July. Now they're putting it as their second, quote-unquote, top state house race. Going quickly down the list, their number three list. Again, I think you should support Jonah Mitchell. He is one of the candidates. If I'll say that once, I'll say it again. If you look down the ballot, I see a total of about 18 candidates tops that you should be supporting around the state in these state house races, and he is one of them. Third race that CN2 is looking at is the 6th district, currently held by a Democrat, Will Corsi, out in Sonsonia, running against Republican Keith Travis from Benton. Again, this is the 6th House district. Can't say I know a lot about this race. This is one, again, that was listed in their top 10 and now has been elevated up to number 3. CN2 Politics says it's still Republican, or I'm sorry, Representative Democrat Corsi's race to lose, that his legal fights are making it more interesting. Very interesting stuff. I guess you have to go research this. Some of this isn't even family friendly about when you see a candidate's name in news coverage about smut depositions and things related to genitalia. That can't be good. So we'll have to see how the Republican plays this for opposition research and how they use it against the incumbent. Incumbents usually get reelected. But with both Mitch McConnell having people say it's time for him to go, and then also down there in this district, you have a judge executive, Mike Miller, who's also been in office as long as McConnell, so maybe this is the anti-incumbent ballot down there in the Benton area of Kentucky. Of course, he must hope that Marshall County voters don't get swept up in the anti-incumbency mood, CN2 says, and that's what we're kind of thinking as well. So fourth race that they mentioned in CN2, it holds its position from back in July. Back in July, they called it the fourth most important race, and it's the third district. The fourth most important race in July, as is now, is the third district where you have Democrat Gerald Watkins. Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth about this. I know very, very little about his opponent, Randy Bridges. But I can tell you, it's very rare that I see a Democrat, especially a Democrat incumbent, agree with the Campaign for Liberty. And Gerald Watkins, on their seven prime issues, agreed with the Kentucky Campaign for Liberty on six issues. He even said that he would sponsor a bill that would oppose Real ID, also would oppose police drones, also would oppose no-knock warrants, and would support concealed carry. So again, if you're a Democrat incumbent and you're coming out for those issues, that says a lot for you. But they're saying in CN2 that this race down in Paducah could give Democrats more heartburn on election night, because it says that in this Paducah-centric district that the representative Joe Watkins is most vulnerable to a Republican wave. Again, I don't know how you run as a Republican unless it's on neocon issues. Tell me if I'm wrong about Randy Bridges of Paducah. Know nothing about the guy who's running for the 4th District down in Paducah. Fifth most important race, according to CN2, is the one held by Representative Kim King of Harrodsburg in the 55th District. She is running for re-election against Democrat Jacqueline Coleman. Kim King's been pretty good over the years. Can't say a lot of bad things about her. But this race has come to typify the Democrats' aggressive campaign recruiting effort that's got the Republicans playing defense for their incumbents across the state. Coleman brings a resume with deep roots in the district and a work ethic to match King's. The question is whether any Democrat can win in the Harrodsburg district, which includes increasingly Republican Mercer County, that very conservative part of Jessamine County, the western part, and Washington County. Now we get to a race that is very near and dear to our hearts. CN2 actually had this listed as their number one top House race. I don't know if they mean top like important or close or most interest. I don't know how they judge this. I don't know what their quantitative and qualitative are on those, but here we are. The sixth most important race, they say, is the one in the 49th district. The 49th district is the one just outside of Jefferson County, right in the heart of Bullitt County, not too far from here. And you have both from Shepherdsville, Mike Nemus, Republican, and Linda Belcher, Democrat. And again, if this was a race that I would have to take a side in, I definitely want people to get out there and work for Mike Nemus. This is one of the best guys out there running this year. This race has to start up a lot of controversy or headlines, but it's very important. CN2 and I agree on that. They both want to capture this open seat. Republicans seem to need it more if they're going to get in distance of taking control of the chamber, but both candidates have been working the district, I'm told. Nemus It's probably slightly more aggressive in campaigning, and Belcher has roots in the district too. So Mike Nemus, this is definitely one of the candidates that I want you to get out there and support. Going down the ballot, trying to see if there's a couple other, as we run out of time here tonight, that we should cover. Let me see. They talk about the 62nd district with Representative Ryan Quarles of Georgetown running for re-election. They talk about the 91st district. And then they talk about the 53rd district. Now, this is an important one, too, because the 53rd district is an open seat. And this is an open seat, another new seat that was created by redistricting, and it covers Spencer and Anderson counties and a tiny little bit of Bullitt County. You have James Tipton, who's a realtor, and is basically an outsider to Frankfort. James Tipton is another very good candidate that I think people should be supporting. And he's running against Kent Stevens, a retired school principal, who is running for the fifth time for state representative and did serve for one term in Frankfort. Now, he had a competitive Democratic primary, whereas Tipton did not have a primary. I didn't think he did. Stevens won a competitive primary in the Democratic May election with 56% of the vote, and Tipton did not have a primary election. So I would say, at least top 10, I'll get to the last one here in a moment. So far, I definitely think that that we need people supporting Jonah Mitchell, that we need people supporting Kim King, Mike Nemus, James Tipton, and finally, the last race that CN2 talks about is our good friend Phil Moffitt running against Democrat Ashley Miller. Now, this is a very unusual matchup. We know that Phil Moffitt has Tea Party connections. Yeah, we still use that term Tea Party on this airwave. A lot of people don't anymore. And we know that he was a gubernatorial candidate, and he's very constitutional. And he's running against Ashley Miller, who is a nurse practitioner from Planned Parenthood. Now, she also is a former Miss Kentucky, so I guess Democrats love to do that, don't they? If Republicans do something that they want to call sexist or discriminatory, they always throw it out there. But Democrats run to these pageant candidates, these Miss Kentuckys, these Miss Americas. They love those, don't they? Anyway, Bill Moffitt is one of the best out there, and this is a conservative district. I used to live in this district, and it's been represented by Republicans for years and years. I don't think this race is going to be overlooked, but it's a tough district for any Democrat to win. If there was any way if Phil Moffitt were to lose this race, then you know it's going to be a rough night for all the Republicans. So that's the top 10 that CN2 talks about. And other top 10, I definitely see half of those that deserve your support. Saying again, Jonah Mitchell, Kim King, Mike Nemus, James Tipton, and Phil Moffitt. Just outside of their top 10 is the 10th district, and then an open seat where our good friend Alan Claypool is running. So there are a lot of good candidates. That's about all we'll say about that. I had somebody ask me out on the internet about what these party hacks do, these people who are like chairman and vice chairman of the Republican Party in the state, and they do have these no-show jobs. The Democrats seem to work like a dog or like a machine or whatever term you want to throw in there to get voters out across the state. They have a lot better network set up, it seems like, than the Republicans do sometimes. But, you know, Republican Party is too worried about keeping liberty-oriented people out of the party. Look what they did in the conventions 2 years ago, where they did all they could to try to keep us out of the conventions just because they were all running around pissing their pins because we didn't agree with them on big government, because we had friends who were libertarians. What the hell with them? Screw them. These are no do-nothing people that run this party, and they run the party to hell. And this is why they need to take a good look in the mirror and figure out how they've gotten where they are. Maybe they stop spending all their damn time stalking people on the social networks and seeing who they're friends with. You know, they have libertarian friends. Maybe they'd get their head out of their ass and work for liberty. They'd get somewhere, but they're too busy making it like their own little country club. They're too busy with having their own little backyards country club, and they don't want you involved. They don't want more Republicans involved. They're not out about a big tent. They're worried about their own little sheet, their own little pissed sheet that they wear out of bed, and they go out there and they screw it all up. So I agree that the Democrat Party has a better machine when it comes to getting people involved around the state. Maybe the Republican Party will get their head out of their ass and see that liberty candidates are the way to get to a better government. Less government is good. Bigger government is bad, folks. But you got to keep remembering, it's not left versus right. It's the government versus you. We hope you get involved and listen to all the shows on this network. We hope you'll stand up to the New World Order. Tell them all to kiss your ass. Thank you.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.